When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back, gone!
All right, welcome back to another week of the 90th Percentile Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. As always, alongside me is my co-host, Matt Pajak of Luton Sports. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Jeff, you really got my brain spinning last week on this topic that we're going to get to here in a second, and ever since then, there's been a lot of fiery conversations, I'm doing great. SEC tournament going on, a bunch of really high performing SEC players that will never see the big leagues beating each other into the ground down in Hoover. It's always a good time of year. I'm not an SEC naysayer per se, but I don't think it's as high and mighty as it's sold to be. That's part of the reason why we're having this conversation.
Spicy.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to be spicy, right? I'm not trying to be spicy. I'm telling you the facts.
Jack.
We're going to lay down some facts. This is Jeff's fault. He's got the backwards hat. He's ready to go. I don't know, dude. I heard that it was 90 degrees up in Massachusetts yesterday. We got like 80 and sunny out here in Colorado. Summer's here. And we're wearing white almost. Memorial Day coming up. I had to tell off a group of 13-year-olds that were all wearing all white sneakers yesterday. I said, look, you guys are not in style until Monday. And they're like, what? And I was like, oof, you can only wear white between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And they were like, what? And I'm like, don't say I never told you anything, you know?
You're going back to the old rules here, you know?
Old rules.
Yeah, he's sticking with it.
I want to shout out Patrick O'Grady, who might or might not be listening to this. Me and Patio go way back to the USA baseball days. Always wearing tight pants because he's from New York. He's a Queens guy. All right. But he always had a dirty pair of white shoes on, no matter the time of year. I think that was a New York thing. So if you're from New York and you wear white shoes year round, you're the only one who gets a pass, and you can thank Patio for that. But anybody else, you got to stick to the rules. Memorial Day to Labor Day.
There you go. That's why I only wear black shoes and blue shoes. Got blue shoes. Custom Air Force Ones. Jeff Ponce made. It's a collabo that Nike doesn't know about that I had to pay them to collab with. But it's a collab.
If these things are real, I need to see them.
Really? You've never seen the custom Air Force Ones? I'll send them over to you while we're talking on this podcast. But so we wanted to get into this topic a little bit. I think it's an interesting one. And it's, you know, sort of the right time of year. It's festive. We got the SEC tournament going. We have all the tournaments going, not just the SEC. There are other conferences in college baseball, and they are often producing very good players, just like the SEC. That being said, though, Matt, I think this had come from a conversation that we had had. I was kind of just looking at this first round college demographic. I don't even totally remember the genesis of our conversation, but started to sort of going back and you start looking at the first round college bats. We'll say going back to 2016. It's not a great track record. And I know we had some high profile college bats in the 2023 draft that I guess aren't off to the best starts. Wyatt Langford, I think he'll come around. Obviously, the degree of difficulty was very high there because he was jettisoned to the big leagues. Up until very recently, Dylan Cruz had kind of struggled over the first month or so of the season in Double A. Things are kind of turning around for him. He's definitely hitting more in May. So, you know, maybe this is a riskier demographic than the old cliche that I think, whether you follow the draft as a fan, whether you follow the draft as a aspiring scout or analyst, if you work with a team, or even like a fantasy writer or somebody that follows the draft for their dynasty purposes, just to kind of tie it all in. I think the cliche is that, well, the college bats are safe, right? High school guys are risky. Doesn't matter if it's pitchers or hitters, but particularly pitchers, of course, but the college bats that perform in college, that have pedigree, that go inside the top, you know, we'll say 15 here, are considered typically sure things. And they often get shot up rankings because they are those sure things. We're able to go on to TV, watch their games. We've seen them perform. We've seen the highlights, et cetera. And we probably have a lot more metrics and, you know, game data to sort of parse through and create a narrative around. So you're someone that obviously does some work in the space. You're around amateur players. You've been, you know, around the amateur game for a long time. You worked in the Cape. You worked at USA Baseball. Now the things you do with Slammers, et cetera. What's your take on this? Because I think it is a bit of a misnomer, maybe.
I think there's a couple of things that I just want to kind of lay out there before we get going on this for the people who are listening. And hopefully this sticks with them when we get into the weeds of this topic, because we're going to name some names here and we're not going to talk about them in the most favorable light, but it's specifically the association of the first round. But your everyday big leaguers, your role players, your fourth outfielders, your second division regulars, they're the lifeblood of the game. If they didn't exist, there wouldn't be a game on TV for you to watch. But the reality is that we don't turn on the TV. We don't buy the tickets to go to the stadium to see the fourth outfielder, the platoon bat, the guy who plays four times a week. That's without them, there's no game. But we don't turn on the TV for that. So when we're talking about the first round, look, there's 20 rounds in the draft for a reason. Formerly 40. Okay. And in 1 year there was five. Right. That's where you expect somewhere between rounds 2 and 40 or 2 and 20. That's where you're expecting to get those guys that can give you 400 at bats. That can be a platoon bat. Maybe, you know, there's some holes in the game, but when we're talking about the top 10 picks in the draft, or we're talking about the first round, even, right, we're shooting for the stars. Jeff, you and I share something in common. We both like toolsy players that have a chance to be on billboards, right? We're trying to find the players or identify the players or be fans of the players that every kid is going to want to buy the shirt when they go to the ballpark. They're going to want to wear it to school, right? And the reality is that there's been a lot of first-round bats. And I know I took a shot at the SEC earlier, and I don't think we're going to get to that conversation in this chat. But I think the SEC is overrated. But when it comes to the college bat in general, and I specifically want to look at 2017 to 2022, because 2023 draft, and you know, I think you could even say to an extent the 2022 draft, it's too close in proximity to really know if those guys are going to establish themselves or what it's going to be. All right, so maybe we look at like 2016 to 2021, right? Because like some of these guys, it's like they're up. I mean, really, like the only guy that I can think of off the top of my head from that's a college bat in those classes that like hasn't had the opportunity to establish himself as a big leaguer is like Heston Kjerstad. And it's just like, there's no room at the end in Baltimore, right? He's showing a lot of promise at AAA, but we're not going to, you know, rule on Heston Kjerstad. But bottom line is you got a lot of college players that are typically, this is typically looked at as the safest demographic in the draft, right? For people who are listening who are like, what are you talking about demographics? All right, four demographics: high school pitcher, high school position player, college pitcher, college position player. If you were going to rank them in terms of safe to risk, at the top, your safest is typically the college bat. That's what everyone thinks. At the bottom, you love it, Waldschmidt bomb, stock going up. The riskiest demographic is typically the high school arm. So if you go look, if you're just a casual fan of the game and you happen to be listening to this podcast, go pick a year of the draft and you're going to see that there's a lot of college bats disproportional to the amount of high school arms selected in the first round, because that's where the money is. And look, it's all a risk proposition, right? But what we're here to talk about, Jeff, today, and you brought this up like a week ago, and it's been swimming around in my mind ever since you brought it up, is that the track record for first round college bats in the past, you could call it the past decade, not great. Look, there's guys that hit, right? But there's way more guys that just didn't materialize into anything. And that's a lot of money invested in first round bats. Jeff, did Waldschmidt just hit back-to-back home runs with himself? What was that face?
No, it was a Edmondson outfielder for Arkansas made an attempt at a diving catch. There were three guys converging. He's a left fielder. The ball went off the heel of his glove, and it looked like it didn't hit the ground as he rolled, as he hit the ground, and it like hit his stomach and then sort of like bounced off of his stomach and then hit the ground. So it was a hit, but it was a very unusual play. I thought he was about to make like an absolute like web gem, like top of the order Sports Center top 10 web gem. But anyway,
Jeff is into this SEC tournament. Bunch of guys that are going to go pro in something other than sports. No hate for the SEC. No, I just want to kind of, Jeff, and this is kind of how I want to roll it out here. I went through and from 2017, and I'm going to go 2017 to 2021 here. Top 10 picks in the college bat demographic between 2017 and 2021. And Jeff, I just want you to tell me how excited you are as I name each name about this player and how they've established themselves. Honestly, you just in your opinion, just off the top, it doesn't have to be anything scientific. Just be like, okay, what is this guy's role currently in professional baseball? Okay. So we're going to go back.
Do it.
All right. Remember, top 10 picks only. All right. A lot of money invested in these safe college bats. Okay. The first one, Brendan McKay. What is he?
Well, he's a pitcher who's been hurt consistently throughout his career. He's more or less a reliever at this point.
Yeah. Drafted as a two-way, hit over 330, 18 home runs, walked more than he struck out in his junior year. He was drafted as a two-way. All right. That doesn't look great for Jack Caglione. I don't know. Different player.
Yeah. More bat, less pitch.
Is he though? All right. Anyway, Pavin Smith, same draft.
Backup player.
Fourth outfielder at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say he's a bench player. He's a 40.
Good thing that he was able to establish himself as like serviceable in the outfield, because if he was a first baseman like he was at Virginia, he would not be in the big leagues. Adam Haseley, where is he at right now?
I'd have to look. I think he's overseas, isn't he?
He might be. Keston Hiura.
He's in AAA, and I think he's been with a few clubs now.
Yep. Okay, let's move on to 2018. That doesn't look great. So we got a hit rate of exactly – we've got one fourth outfielder out of that group of four top 10 college bat picks in 2017. 2018, Joey Bart got DFA'd by the team that picked him in top five picks. And it looked like he's trying to establish himself now with Pittsburgh, but that's not particularly good, because I was like 6 years ago, he was a top five pick and everyone was excited about him. Alec Baum.
That's a win. It's an above average player, you know, that's potential all-star. I think, there's no questions there. He's a 55 to maybe a 60. The defense has improved a lot too. That's a good player.
You're happy with that investment?
Absolutely.
All right. So far in top 10 picks, we are one for six being happy with the investment. Mm. Okay. Same draft. Nick Madrigal.
He's a useful utility player. Can play a few spots in the infield, but not an impact big leaguer.
I think his biggest knock is
he's hitting 213, by the way, the hit tool guy.
He was a hit tool guy. Yeah. There's no power.
274 career hitter over 933 plate appearances.
And correct me if I'm wrong, durability issues there.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely some.
Yeah. So when you're talking 90, about
92 games last year, so not awful as a part timer.
All right. Anyway, we got a part time. Okay. This one's okay. Jonathan India.
Yeah. I mean, you know, was excellent, honestly, as a rookie. But I think when you look at India, he is limited defensively. So there's some question marks on how you get him into a super talented young team in Cincinnati. And, you know, obviously there was an injury to Nick McLean, which I, you know, excuse me, Matt McLean. I get my McLeans mixed up. What's going on? Matt McLean, which opened up some playing time for him this year. But he hasn't had a WRC plus above 100 since 2021. So he's had, you know, somewhere around 250 games, 260 games since then, and has like a WRC plus of like 93. So
was 2021 one of the,
and he's an offensive driven player, so that's a problem.
Was that the juice ball era 2021?
I didn't think 2021 was still juice balls, but that might have been a mix. I can't remember that year.
I think that might have been the last year of the juice ball, and then 2022 the ball went dead.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yep. Yeah, because Brendan made his debut in 2022 with the dead ball. And I told him he got unlucky. okay, Jonathan India.
Little league home run for Brendan last night as well, or yesterday.
Yeah, he only got a double on that. They should have gave him credit for the triple.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it was the little league home run. He even slid in for the little league home run.
It's a great pick of him at home plate where he's like this, and he's got the headband and hair in his face and all that.
Yeah. He just kind of jumps up. It was on the highlights this morning.
It's the highlight of the year for St. Louis because they just swept the Baltimore Orioles. And the Orioles had not been swept, Jeff, in 106 series dating back to before Adley Rutschman's debut.
Hey, the Birds and Fuego.
Jonathan India, second division regular.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think this is going to be a 10-year big leaguer.
Yeah.
Maybe
extra infielder on a good team.
Figures it out.
Yeah. All right. Travis Swaggerty.
Oof.
Not in AAA with the Dodgers.
I think he's just not a player. He's like a 20. He's almost an org guy, more or less, no?
Yeah.
He was in the big leagues in 2022. He hasn't been back. It was a 5-game stint with a terrible Pittsburgh team. I think – at best, he's an up-and-down guy. He's 26 at this point, so unless something revolutionizes in this game, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here.
Yeah, and Brendan played with T-Swag at South Alabama. Seventh rounder is the one hitting Little League home runs in the big leagues right now. Adley Rutschman.
That's a superstar, yeah.
That's a superstar. That's a huge hit, but that was the second overall pick in the draft.
What was the first overall pick?
First overall pick in the draft, my fault.
Yeah, the second overall pick, different
story. The second overall pick in the draft's an even better player, and he was a high school guy. Oops. No knock on Adley. No knock on Adley at all. But Bobby Wood Jr. is a generational superstar. Andrew Vaughn.
Maybe a 50?
Second division regular, first base only.
Hey, he played some outfield.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. His first year in the big leagues, I think he played mostly outfield.
Was that because Abreu was playing first?
Yeah, and La Russa he can play outfield. Yeah, he's got 202 games in the outfield and 225 games at first base. He's got 3 at second base somehow and 2 at third base.
Well, you know,
they really kind of messed with this guy in terms of, I don't think anyone thought this guy would ever play a position besides first base.
Yeah.
You know what hasn't translated with Vaughn is the walk rates. I mean, he was from an on base perspective was tremendous as an amateur. A lot of that I think was sort of magnified, though he didn't play very much minor league ball, but you know, the walk rates were always extremely high, but like I said, it's a very small sample size. I'm kind of surprised. It's more hit tool, less power on base than I thought there would be. And I thought there was a good balance. But at this point, I mean, Vaughn is 26 years old and kind of entering his prime years, and we still, you know, haven't seen a full season where he's at any point in his professional career where he's had an isolated slugging over 200, which is kind of baseline, like you have above average power. And I just don't think we've seen that at all.
That's not a great profile at first base.
No. Especially when you're right, yeah, you got to hit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
JJ Bleday, Vanderbilt.
Bleday's had a little bit of a resurgence at this point. Like, I'm not saying he's been great, but he has been like pretty good this year. He has a 121 WRC plus over 51 games this year and was 92 last year. I would say that he's a good second division regular, and maybe there's a chance he turns into just an average everyday guy. But I think he's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better than I think we thought he was 2 years ago.
No doubt. I mean, he just had to get out of Miami.
He's outperforming Jonathan India. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? We can
he's having a good season, yeah.
We can admit when we're wrong, right? We hated on the Oakland A's a little bit.
We did. You know what?
Probably me more than you on that because yeah. I'm a little bit more extreme with my language. Hated on the Oakland A's. And you know what? I'm here to say that the Oakland A's are a good ball club for the circumstances that they're dealing with. So just want to put that on the record. All right. If we were redoing that conversation about Oakland A's, Norfolk Tides.
Norfolk, I don't even think is 500. And they got Jackson Holliday back.
I mean, to be fair, Colton Cowser started with the big league team.
Yeah.
Who have they lost?
Nobody really. Lost?
Well, Kobe Mayo got hurt. Jackson Mayo Holiday hurt. Came up, like struggled. They sent him back.
And then that was a week.
That was up for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then the other guy there, Stowers. He's a big leaguer now. Anyway, let's get back on subject here. Josh Jung, if Josh Jung can stay healthy, I think Josh Jung is a really solid everyday big league player.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. Shea Langeliers. He's kind of in that JJ.
He's a big league catcher, right? Yeah. I don't think he's an all-star unless he has an outstanding year with a bat. But I think he'll have a long career behind the plate, and he can catch and he can hit enough, and those guys stay employed as long as they want to be.
Yeah, Hunter Bishop.
It's a non-prospect.
Heston Kjerstad. Blocked.
Yeah, but I think with Kjerstad, at least you can kind of look at it and say, you know, he's performed when he's been healthy, and you know, he's hit in the minor leagues, and he's on another organization. He probably already is up there, but you know, if you told me that he's only a 50. That he has, you know, maybe like a JJ Bleday type of career, less defense, maybe a little bit more power. I don't think it'd be shocking, but like similar value in terms of where they rank and, you know, WAR, however you want to value players' individual contributions. So, yeah, I think he's fine. I don't think it was a bad pick. They also were able to pull some money down the board and get a Kobe Mayo. So they did use it in a constructive way.
Yeah. Spencer Torkelson.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tork's a 220, 299, 389 hitter. over a pretty good major league sample. I think we've seen points and times where it looked like he started to figure it out and then he sort of slides back. The contact hasn't been as good as I thought it was going to be. The approach hasn't been as good as I thought it was going to be in terms of on-base ability. And man, the power has really been lacking. I mean, when did he hit his first home run of the season? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was like last week, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of concerning.
Austin Martin, fifth overall pick.
He seems like a super utility guy, right? There's on base ability. He hasn't really showed it at the major league level yet, but yeah, I mean, I think he's a part-time player that can fill in at a few different positions because he's got experience at a bunch of different places around the field because of the way he was treated in the minor league. So yeah, I just think he's a utility guy without a lot of offense.
Nick Gonzalez.
We'll see. I mean, as you said before, I said to you before the show, he's been hot of late, but it's a very limited profile. It's second base only, pretty much. I mean, you'd have to be in an extreme situation for him to fill in for you at shortstop. And he's got a hit, and he looked like he's made some changes at AAA. I wrote about it a few weeks ago as a guy that was maybe a potential bounce back candidate this year. Kind of ditched the power and approach side of things and started to go more into the hit tool side of things. And I think he's got enough raw power that can kind of work if he's a line drive hitter. Kind of went back to being a little bit more aggressive than he had been. So maybe he's got a shot to be a second division regular with, you know, as like an offensive driven second baseman that's a little bit above league average if it all sort of clicks. But we got to see if the AAA changes hold in the majors. That remains to be seen. But I know he's been hot over the last couple of weeks. I added him in a daily moves redraft fantasy league today. I'm streaming him as a second baseman because he's playing a game.
All right, so I'm going to run down this list again and remind the people what a 50 is. Jeff.
So that would be an average everyday player.
Okay. So you're gonna tell me.
I would say it's about a 1.5 WAR player because I don't think like WAR to really like an average regular is the same when you talk about replacement level. It's really more like a 40.
All right. So 2017, 2018, 2019, 2021. So that's four drafts. There's 19 top 10 picks in those four drafts that were college bats, the safest demographic. Out of them, how many of these guys are 50? Okay. McKay? No. Pavin Smith? No. Adam Haseley? No. Keston Hiura? No. Joey Bart? No. Alec Baum? Yes. Nick Madrigal? 50? No.
No.
Jonathan India?
No. I think he's a 45.
Travis Swaggerty, no. Rushman, yes. Andrew Vaughn? If you're being nice, yes. If you're not, no. Yeah, we're not going to be nice because we're trying to...
It's very much on the line, but yeah. I'd say 45.
JJ Bleday?
Yeah, I think I'll give Bleday a 50 at this point.
All right, so we're going to give Bleday, and we're not going to give Vaughn. All right, so we're being fair here. Josh Young.
He's a good outfielder, you know.
Josh Young, yes. Shea Langeliers.
Catchers, it's a different scale almost. I kind of want to say yes, even though the offensive returns haven't been great.
Hey, let it be on record. We're nice guys. We're going to give Shea Langeliers.
Yes, we're going to give it to Langeliers.
Hunter Bishop, no. Heston Kjerstad, we don't know yet. So we're going to leave him out of it. So we'll make it out of 18 instead of 19. Spencer Torkelson, no. Austin Martin, no. Nick Gonzalez, no. So that's 5 out of 18. On top 10 picks. These are the guys getting the most money in the draft. Jeff, I don't know. You tell me. Is that good?
Not great. Not great. And I apologize to Shea Langeliers. He's got 10 home runs and is slugging .483 this year with a .212 batting average. So
hey, we included him.
ISO, he's actually a 113 WRC+. He's already got 1.2 WAR. So yeah, he is definitely an average regular. So I don't think we're being kind there.
There might be some regression there. at some point, because I do think he's
sure. The strikeout rate isn't crazy, and the defense is good. So, and he's a
We're going to give it to him.
He's going to be a two-war guy minimum, I think. So,
5 out of 18. We'll let the audience decide for themselves if they think that's good or if that's, you know, what the percentages are there.
And I think here's the thing that I actually feel as if, Matt, if I can jump in here for a moment, you can steal the platform. The high end isn't as exciting. If we go through the high school players, the prep players in some of these drafts, maybe the hit rate is a little more about even, right? But the types of players that you're getting with these high picks from the high school side, you're getting superstars. You mentioned Bobby Witt Jr., which the best player that they could put forward is Adley Rushman, right? And you can match that and offset that with Bobby Witt Jr. And let's say 30 picks later, the Orioles got their own superstar shortstop just outside the first round in Gunnar Henderson, right? And then you kind of go through, now that there aren't picks that don't hit, we go back, we look at the 19 draft with Corbin Carroll, where he goes, right? Some of the other players that go around that area. Yeah, I think that's where you're really sort of swimming with the Sharks.
Yeah, and I think we can frame this in a way where the listeners can kind of make their own opinions on it. We'll do that here in a second. But I think the point of this is really to say that, like, yeah, it's always considered the safe demographic. Bookmarking that. All right, I want to just, while you're watching the SEC tournament over there, I got to get my shots in on the SEC. I think the point is that, like, the college bet that performs isn't always like if you're a fan watching college baseball this week, it's like, it's not all like, okay, this guy's got 20 home runs and he's hitting 330 in the SEC. It's like, there's the college player doesn't always translate to the professional game. I think that's what's really at the root of what we're talking about here. And there's a number of different reasons, Jeff. We've talked about rolling bats, and we've talked about, you know, at the very simplest, you know, just swinging metal versus swinging wood. Some guys, it's just different on that front, right? But when you think about Mississippi State in the past 4 or 5 years, really powerful SEC school, and, you know, they've had so many good players come through there, and it just, their performance in the SEC, their performance in college never translated to professional baseball, right? So when you're seeing your Rowdy Jordans and you're seeing your Tanner Allens and you're seeing your, you know, Justin Foscue to an extent, that guy was a top 15 pick, Jake Mangum, all right, you're seeing those types of guys put up stupid numbers for an SEC school during the SEC tournament. When you see their stat line pop up, like, it doesn't always translate to pro ball. And when you look at the high end of MLB talent, you know, you look at the war leaders right now, and it's like the top 10. There's more high school drafts on the domestic side. There's more high school drafts than college drafts. And the college drafts are like, there's a seventh rounder from Long Beach State, and there's a dude who went to Cal Berkeley, right? It's not like, you know, what you would be led to believe if you turned on the TV and watched the SEC tournament. You know, it's like, oh, if you don't play in the SEC, then you're not this. But anyway, I want to get back. I do want to juxtapose a couple of things, and then we'll get the people out of here. 2016 MLB draft. We're going to do college bats, and we're going to do high school bats. Okay. And now, again, high school bats, what, Jeff? Probably the third riskiest demographic? The second riskiest demographic? High school line.
Probably
high school arm, high school bat.
I think there's subcategories with the high schoolers, though. Like, I think if it's a shortstop, probably not. If it's an outfielder, maybe a little more risk. If it's a catcher, there's a lot of risk there. First baseman, high school first baseman, though Josh Naylor's proven the haters wrong. Typically a tough demographic as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends how far you stretch out the conversation. If you stretch it out to like top five round drafts, I think that high school shortstop demographic, when you get outside the top like three or four in a given draft, and you start getting into second, third, fourth, fifth round high school shortstops, like there's a ton of risk in there, because there's a lot of really bad picks in that demographic for a number of different reasons that we're not going to talk about here. But I think in the first round, you're generally right. Like, it's hard to miss too hard on a high school shortstop in the first round, unless it's Jordan Groshans, which we'll get to here in a second. Anyway, 2016 MLB draft. Here are your college position players. Nick Senzel, still trying to establish himself as a big leaguer. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. Corey Ray, I think he's coaching now. Zach Collins never made it. Kyle Lewis, injuries kind of got him too. I think he turned into an okay big leaguer. Matt Theis, never. I think he got there maybe. Cup of Coffee. Will Craig, Cup of Coffee, retired. Will Smith is the shining light, and he was all the way like pick 32 or something in that 2016 MLB draft. So anyway. That's seven college bats. You've got Senzel, Kyle Lewis, and Will Smith are kind of your three to choose from if you like, to choose who's kind of established themselves as in the big league. So on the high school side, Mickey Moniak, he's playing, correct? Am I correct? Mickey Moniak's playing? I believe he is.
Mickey Moniak, yeah, was in the big leagues. He was okay. He's kind of like a fourth outfielder.
Yeah. So he's playing. All right. So he's kind of on, like, let's call it Kyle Lewis's level. You got Josh Lowe, who's all kinds of tooled up. He's really just the only thing holding him back is injuries, but he's shown five tools.
He was very good last year. Yeah.
Very good last year. And if he can get healthy again, he'll be very good moving forward. Will Benson, fourth outfielder. He might be getting some everyday run right now. Alex Kirilloff, is he an everyday player in Minnesota?
Oh man, I've been seeing him in and out of the lineup, but he's another guy where it depends if he's healthy or not.
Yeah, so he's probably getting about as much run as like Nick Senzel. When Nick Senzel's healthy, Blake Rutherford didn't make it. Gavin Lux is an everyday big leaguer. I don't know if he's an everyday big leaguer with LA long term, but he's an everyday big leaguer. Delvin Perez didn't make it. Hudson Sanchez didn't make it. Carter Kieboom, Cup of Coffee. Dylan Carlson still trying to establish himself in some capacity, but you could say fourth outfielder if you want to be safe. Anyway, if I'm going to shave off the top three, I'm going to go Josh Lowe, Alex Kirilloff, Gavin Lux, and you put them against Nick Senzel, Kyle Lewis, Will Smith. Jeff, I'm taking Lowe, Kirilloff, and Lux over Will Smith, Kyle Lewis, and Nick Senzel, even though Will Smith might be the best player of the six.
Yes, what do you got? That's accurate.
All right, so you're taking the high school guys there too?
Yeah, I'm taking the high school guys.
All right, I'm gonna have you also pick three. We're gonna do a little pick three on the 2017 MLB draft as well. Are we going high school or college on this group? So we got college. We got Brennan McKay, Paven Smith, Adam Hazley, Keston Hiura, Jake Berger, Evan White, Logan Warmoth, Jaron Kendall. Well, there's only two big leaguers there to choose from. So Paven Smith and Jake Berger. And then on the high school side, Royce Lewis, Austin Beck, Joe Adell, Nick Prado, Helio Ramos, Bubba Thompson, Chris Cease, Royce Lewis, best player of the bunch. Joe Adell is establishing himself, 25 years old, hitting for power, running. Probably taking the high school guys there too?
Yeah, taking the high school guys there too, just because I think Royce Lewis is the best player.
Yep. All right. So 2018 MLB draft. Okay. Joey Bart. This is college. Joey Bart, Alec Baum, Nick Madrigal, Jonathan India, Kyler Murray, Travis Swaggerty, Trevor Larnach, and Nico Horner. Okay. High school side, Jared Kelenic, Connor Scott, Jordan Groshans, Jordan Adams, Nolan Gorman, Bryce Terang, Anthony Siegler, Tristan Casas, Bo Naylor, Nick Schnell. Are you taking Alec Baum, Jonathan India, and Nico Horner? Or are you taking Nolan Gorman, Bryce Terang, and Tristan Casas?
I think I'm actually taking the college guys in that one.
I think it's a little bit of a toss-up. I think Casas is potentially the most impactful bat out of that whole crew.
Nico Horner is a really good player. And Nico Horner can play shortstop at a near gold glove level.
Yeah, I think Bryce Terang's right there with him.
He hasn't had all-star seasons.
That's correct. But Bryce Terang is still establishing himself. But thus far this year, leadoff hitter for a division-leading team. And he's stealing a lot of bags. And he can play shortstop. And he's showing hit tool this year. So, you know what? I'm going to give Bryce the benefit of the doubt. Don't love Nolan Gorman, but he is playing every day as well. So, it's I'm going to take the high school guys here as well. I'm going to let you take the college guys. I'm not going to fight it.
Yeah, I mean, Nico Horner has two four WAR seasons. So it's kind of why I'm leaning that way.
All right, we'll get in the time machine and we'll go forward a couple of years and we'll see Bryce Durang versus Nico Horner. And I think, you know, that's that they'll probably be comparable. I would bet. That's I'm on the sunnier side on Bryce Durang for some reason, but
there you go.
We'll roll with it. I think I've got a bias towards toolsy high school prep guys. That's like a double negative, double positive high school prep. Toolsy prep players. Bias right here. Okay. 2019 MLB draft. Adley Rutschman, Andrew Vaughn, JJ Bleday, Josh Young, Shea Langeliers, Hunter Bishop, Bryson Stott, Will Wilson, Braden Shoemake, Greg Jones, Michael Toglia, Cody Hose, Logan Davidson, Michael Bush, Corey Lee. Look, there's a lot of not good in there, but there's some pretty darn good in there as well. Rutschman, Young, Langeliers, Stott. So we'll shave those guys as like the top four. I don't know. Do you think Bleday deserves to be in there over one of those guys? Or
I like the name Chad. I think that's fine.
Okay. Rutschman, Young, Langeliers, Stott. We're going to put that up against a historically good high school class. Bobby Witt Jr., Riley Green, Corbin Carroll, helium name Keone Cavaco, just disappeared. CJ.
You don't have to keep going.
Anthony Bolt. Yeah, I think we're taking the high school guys.
Yeah,
taking the high school guys there. Okay, so I'm 4-0 on high school guys. Jeff's 3-1. 2020 MLB draft. Last one we're gonna do here. Spencer Torkelson, Heston Kjerstad, Austin Martin, Nick Gonzalez, Patrick Bailey, Justin Foscue, Garrett Mitchell, Aaron Sabato, Austin Wells, Jordan Westberg, Nick Lofton, Alika Williams. I'm gonna put Kjerstad, Patrick Bailey, Jordan Westberg is the top three, maybe. I don't know. You could maybe say Austin Martin instead of Kjerstad.
No. I'm fine with that.
Okay. And then on the high school side, Robert Hassel, Zach Fien, Austin Hendrick, Ed Howard, Nick York, Pete Crow Armstrong, Jordan Walker, Carson Tucker, Tyler Soderstrom, Drew Romo. I think you're looking at like PCA, Jordan Walker, Tyler Soderstrom is the three there. I don't know. 2020, it's tough to do because some of these guys are still trying to get there and or establish themselves, even on the college side.
And it was a weird draft where money, I think, moved some players around too.
Yeah. So I think that one's a toss-up. I'm going to give that one just a tie for now.
I might lean college right now, but the way the high school bats are at, like another 2 years, a couple of these guys could establish themselves. So.
Yeah, I could see it being like Jordan Westberg, Garrett Mitchell, if he's able to stay healthy and get going, because he's all kinds of toolsy, and like Heston Kjerstad hitting 25, 30 home runs. Maybe that taking over the high school side. But any way you slice it, I just named all of the first round college and high school position players. And I went 4-0-1 on the high school side. Jeff went 3-1-1. Maybe, what did you go? 3-1-1 or 3-2-0? In favor of college.
I think I went 3-2-0.
Okay, 3-2-0. And there were, again, if you're going off of percentages here, there were more college bats taken in the first rounds of those five drafts than there were high school bats. So either way, we were both leaning towards the higher end on the high school players, and there were more college bats to potentially break through and provide some kind of value in some extent to for this comparison. Anyway, if you're listening and you want to, you know, chime in on this in any capacity, you know how to hit us. DMs are open. Let us know what you think. But yeah, Jeff, I just off of this exercise. Is the high school bat the safest demographic in the draft?
I think if you went after high school bats and college pitchers and then sort of picked up on, college hitters after like round 10, just took shots on those guys, like all the senior signs that are cheap, you know, maybe pull one high school guy down or something. Maybe that's the way you do it. Because I think it's the opposite on the pitching side. I think it is clear that college pitching, more often than not, is the much safer demographic to go after than high school pitching.
I think the pitching one would be like a 3-hour podcast because there's so many different wrinkles to it. I agree with you. I'd rather have a college pitcher than a high school pitcher. But it's very
I think there's survivorship bias. Like, you get those 3 years where, like, you don't have to pay for someone who's injured and, like, could really scale backwards. Because we've seen that with some high school pitchers where, like, you know, not to call someone up, but, like, a Forrest Whitley kind of really scaled backwards after numerous injuries. You know, we've seen guys go to college that were superstars and then get hurt in college and then end up as, like, fifth, sixth rounders, you know.
And it's org fit. It's who went to Tread in the offseason. It's,
could be,
you know, who's got the right people in their ear telling them they need to do this instead of that, you know, approach to how they attack batters, whatever it might be. I mean, we talked about it last week with Paul Skeens. Like, look, Paul Skeens was 1-1. He deserved to go 1-1, and he is a completely different pitcher less than a year later pitching in the big leagues than he was at LSU when he was as dominant as he was. And he's added the most diabolical pitch to his arsenal since he's left LSU. Okay. Yeah. And you can't predict that that's going to happen. So anyway,
no, I think the only people that can are those that are in PD and the teams that have access to a player like that and can acquire them and do their due diligence. Right. But that being said, Matt, let's wrap this up. It's a tight 45 minutes. This has been the 90th Percentile Podcast. For Jeff, that's me. For Matt, that's him. Thanks for tuning in.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.